A bloke who I've crossed paths with for the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years in footy by the name of Darian Trainer, who's a photographer over here, started to tweet some stuff out a day or two ago about this thing called the Right to Movement Marathon, which is the Palestine Marathon. And I sort of touched base with him, and he told me that, yeah, there's this marathon that goes on. It's a remarkable thing. There's a message and a hope of peace that drives the whole thing. I'd never even heard of it. And the more you absorb stories about the world of sport, sometimes the more you find absolutely remarkable things being done. And it's taking place tomorrow. He's going to be over there taking photos about it, hopefully for people like us to see and absorb it and get a sense for the difference that things like this might be able to make. Marika Sosnowski is a Middle East analyst, teacher of regional politics, doing a PhD at Melbourne University, and she's been helping Darian get all the information he needs as part of this and reporting on this for a while, as well as a whole lot of other stuff. And Marika's been good enough to join us in the studio. Good afternoon to you.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me here.
Tell me about this marathon. It's been going for the fourth year, I think it's up for, and it's on tomorrow. Tell me about it.
That's right. Well, I think it's exactly like you said in the introduction. I think the primary aim of it is to highlight the restrictions placed on freedom of movement in that part of the world, in Israel and Palestine. It's just essentially it's very hard to move long distances like a marathon without going through some sort of security arrangement, be that a checkpoint you know, running into, you know, some sort of border guard or a security guard or something like that. So it highlights that those restrictions placed on not just Palestinians, but Israelis, you know, Arab Israelis, Christian people living in the area and all the people living in that area.
So you've been over there, you've been on the ground over there. It's a 42-kilometer event, a marathon, as I'm sure you're aware. How in that environment, how difficult would that be logistically to put on?
Well, look, it's seriously hard in the Palestinian territory. So this Palestine marathon is run in the West Bank, which it's a bit complicated because it's an area notionally controlled by the Palestinian Authority. But the Palestinian Authority only has complete control over what they call Area A, which was designated as part of the Oslo Accords years ago. But even within that Area A, they don't control a 42-kilometre stretch. Mm. So what the route has to do is run 20 or so kilometres, pass along the separation barrier, through a refugee camp, and then back to Bethlehem, where it starts at Manger Square. So the PA itself doesn't even control a stretch big enough to actually run the full 42 kilometres.
Yeah. I run the Melbourne Marathon, Marika, and we run down Beach Road out to about Edith Vale or somewhere, turn around, and probably the most noteworthy thing that we run past is the Shrine of Remembrance, which is significant to us here, obviously.
Yes.
But the landscape that you're discussing over there, it must be for people to run. I imagine there are people coming in from all around the world to participate in this and be part of it's not necessarily a protest, but the statement being made as a result of this marathon. It must be a stunning place to actually go for a run.
I mean, it's quite an amazing place. I mean, you can't go to that part of the world without hearing these names like Bethlehem, Manger Square. You know, Bethlehem is just outside of Jerusalem, and you know all these kind of biblical names that we know and hear about. I mean, you have to like that kind of landscape.
Yeah.
But it's quite for me, it's an amazing place.
So what the people who are putting this on, the organisers of this event, what are they hoping to get out of it? What's their objective?
Their objective is to highlight, like we said, the restrictions placed on freedom of movement. In the project Darian and I are doing, we're specifically looking at runners who want to come from Gaza, so from the Gaza Strip, and travel to the West Bank to run in the marathon. And that in itself presents this whole heap of other restrictions that are placed on people just coming out of Gaza. Even though the Gaza Strip and the West Bank were envisaged to be part of the same Palestinian territory, for runners coming from Gaza, there's just layers and layers and layers of bureaucracy, both from the Palestinians and from the Israelis, that get placed on them. So they have to go through a whole approval process to be approved to travel what is essentially, I think, less than 100 kilometres from the Gaza Strip. So this is the kind of distances we're talking about. From the Gaza Strip to Bethlehem, it's less than 100 kilometres. But in order to do that, they need to cross Israeli territory. So go through a checkpoint in Gaza, cross about 100 kilometres, go through another checkpoint into the West Bank. And to do that, they need permission from a range of different government agencies.
We can't get our head around it, obviously. We've got people who are born in Melbourne who haven't been over there have got no ability, I don't think, really to get their head around the conceptual reality of what you're talking about. How effective is it? I mean, in terms of it opening up a regional conversation to the end point that we're trying to get to at the end of the day here, using something like a marathon. How is there any kind of early data or really kind of anecdotal evidence to suggest that it's having the kind of desired effect?
I think, look, there's over 4,000 runners registered for the marathon already this year. And I think the very fact that Darian and I have had a lot of interest in the project we're doing, and, you know, I'm coming on radio stations like this to talk about it, I think that does show that there's interest in it and it is, you know, making somewhat of a difference. I mean, it's not going to be a panacea to everything.
Yeah, of course, it can't be.
No, but I think the fact is that sports events like this and other cultural and sporting events put a kind of human face to the conflict.
No doubt about that. Yeah.
And I think that's what's really important about it, is to see the conflict in terms of, or, you know, the restrictions that are placed on people. And they're just normal, you know, a lot of them are just, most of them, the vast majority are just very normal people trying to go about their lives and do something as simple as running.
I don't know whether you know the answer to this, because you mentioned there's about 4,000 people running in it. Do you know how many of those 4,000 are coming from beyond the region, are coming from overseas? Is there any kind of evidence, or somebody would know the answer to that question?
Yeah, but I think they've got stats on that. I don't know what percentage of it is, but like I can tell you, for example, from Gaza, there was 1,000 runners that applied from Gaza originally to come out to participate. But I would estimate that only about 50 of those will actually be allowed to leave Gaza to participate. So that gives you some sense of the scale of restrictions that we're talking about, and that's just with the runners from Gaza. But for example, interestingly, Israeli citizens, because it is held in Area A that the Palestinian Authority controls, they're under restrictions as well, that they can't travel to Area A without having some sort of approval.
And so none of those restrictions are relaxed at all for something like this, do you know?
They go through an approval. They have to be approved.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It's some people will get approved and some people won't. And
if people are sitting here right now listening to you talk about this, and the whole concept of it kind of blows my tiny mind, to be honest. I think we think of Palestine and we think about that region, we think about it being war ravaged and impossible to live in, and how can they possibly be having something as routine and mundane and everyday as a run? Not necessarily a fun run, because marathons are never fun, but having a run in that sort of environment, is it safe? I mean, is there any danger associated to anybody who might be participating in something like this?
I think it's very safe as participating in the marathon itself. And I think the organisers of the marathon would have gone to quite lengths to make sure that it is safe. Yep. But, you know, going to that part of the world, it is different. You know, they've lived with a conflict that's been going on for a very long time. So security is certainly something that's, you know, heightened over there. So, yeah, it is a different environment. But, yeah, I think the marathon itself will be very safe.
So people are listening to you and they're thinking, okay, I want to know more about this.
Yeah.
When you publish whatever it is that you and Darian are doing together, and please tell us what it is, where can people find out a bit more about the work that you're doing?
Yeah, so we're approaching a few newspaper outlets to publish it. We're not 100% sure where it will be done yet, but hopefully that'll be published. But yeah, the website of the Palestine Marathon is certainly available. There's a great organisation called Gisha who does it's called a Legal Centre for Freedom of Movement that works specifically with Palestinians, mostly coming from Gaza, to participate in the marathon itself and other access to other, the West Bank and other places. So there's a lot of information out there if people want to find out about it, certainly.
And when you, just on a very political note to round this off, in a country like ours, which has got so much to offer so many people from around the world, and you're focusing on the regional challenges that people have in this part of the globe, and you hear some of the negativity about, you know, refugees and some of the conversation that takes place. We are a sports radio station, but we're all part of this community. Does it break your heart when you hear some of the when you see these people and you know what they're doing to try and live a normal life? Does it break your heart when you see some of the entrenched attitudes that we're trying to break down through things like the Right to Movement Palestine Marathon?
Andy, I'm a runner as well, and every morning when I go for a run, I just, you know, feel absolutely blessed to be able to run the lengths that I do and run next to the Murray Creek and enjoy the freedom and the quiet, the peace and quiet and the beautiful mornings that we have here. And I often think during those times about what the people in that part of the world are experiencing. And that is really poignant, I think.
I think it is. The Right to Movement, if you want to Google it, just Google Right to Movement Marathon, Palestine Marathon. You can find out a whole lot of stuff on the World Wide Web about it. It's on tomorrow. Marika Sosnowski and Darian Trainer are hopefully going to be able to show us a whole and tell us a whole lot more about it when it's done and dusted. Keep up the good work. I think we all need to know more about it. And it's just great for people like us who are into round by round the footy and we're absorbed and we are obsessed with sport. When you hear a story about a sporting event going to the sorts of areas, metaphorically and physically, that this one's going to, I think we all can take some good from that. Thanks for coming in and telling us a bit about it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.